All right, welcome, hoes I'm gonna get with, and hoes I already got with. Welcome to this conference on climate change.
Hey, fun fans, it's We Enjoy Wrestling. That's right. The sometimes maybe quarterly, but sometimes just whenever we feel like it podcast is back to talk about all the things grapple butt and wrestling. This is WrestleMania weekend podcast edition where Eric stayed his ass in LA and didn't hop on a flight, and jam pack his weekend full of wrestling events and, you know, tiring himself out and just subjecting himself to an exhausting endeavor like we usually would. I did, but I also live here, so the traveling wasn't even an issue for me here in the DFW area.
I'm going to make them come to me.
They are. Next year, it's going to be the reverse, the switchback, the flip flop. Right.
Except I think you'll actually make it out here like me this year.
Yeah, it's still going to be two nights, as we learned. It seems like it's going to be that way going forward.
I didn't want them to, but I also figured they would because it's more money, it's more whatever, it's more hoopla. So I don't think they can, though they turned on that faucet for a pandemic specific reason, they're not going to turn it off now, I don't think.
Even if the sink overflows. And also, what do we argue like week in and week out when we're on We Enjoy? The fact that like weekly releases means to more conversation. So like one extra night means more buzz, right? Just like you said. Sure. All right. Look, one night of WrestleMania has its ups and downs. Two nights of WrestleMania has its ups and downs. They're both, we have to take the good with the bad. They're both shorter shows, but still it's a lot to go through. And, you know, with it comes the challenging of programming two nights, having two main events, but also having Sunday be the main event, you know, unofficially, because it's the last one. How do you stack both nights so that maybe, I feel like people who were there for the first night were there for the second night. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like, you're like, how do you treat the night one people right? How do you treat the night two people right? They're not really the varying different audience to some degree, but I feel like night one they advertised Stone Cold and there was the big Cody Rhodes buzz, and so like that was sort of the night everyone was watching. And then night two, there were no like surprises that people were anticipating, so Stone Cold showing up giving night two crowd a surprise was a lot of fun, but that wasn't like obviously advertised. And nothing else was really a big surprise on night two, unless I guess the whole Vince and taking the stunner poorly from Stone Cold was the big surprise, because I was talking about it in the press box. What do you get on night two? Is it the same opening musical act? It wasn't. Do they get the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders again? They don't, but they did because they accompanied Pat McAfee to the ring. Yeah. So it's like they found a way to sort of recycle bits from night one into night two to balance the scales of justice, Eric.
Right.
We are the Mattitude, Eric. I am Matt Fowler. Say hello. Eric didn't come to Dallas. Goldman.
Hello. When we enjoy wrestling, I'm like, oh, the Mattitude Eric is actually a reference that people might understand more.
I feel like maybe the people who listen to We Enjoy who didn't follow wrestling understand that because the Attitude Era was so big, but probably not.
But it's interesting because just by two nights, you know, you inevitably create a competition between them, not on the same exact scale, but you know, there used to be the thing that when NXT TakeOver was the night before Mania, and that was kind of setting a bar for Mania. The Mania usually couldn't match at the time. But now you just set a bar for yourself. And it's asking a lot for people to both in person and at home to sort of like get that hype up again. I imagine it's like, Matt, although I've never experienced this for myself, that you have a multi-day festival concert I've only done one day festival concerts as far as like, okay.
But
like,
I've only done one multi-day festival concert.
Right.
Which is my one and only Coachella, back when I feel like it was way more tolerable than it is now, though the heat certainly wasn't. That never changes. Never change heat. No notes. 10 out of 10, super hot sun.
Yay.
But also I was going there for a very specific act. Everything else was just great because I got to see bands I liked, but I really was going to see Faith No More. But let's talk about the era we're in now and how different this WrestleMania weekend is. Here as me, someone who has boots on the ground, and you just experiencing it elsewhere. But like, coming out of the pandemic last year, it was held in a big stadium still down in Tampa Bay. They made it over two nights. Some of it was really great. Like obviously the night one main event between Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks was what people are really talking about at this point a year later. And I think it went over well. I think they only had like 20 to 30,000 people in there.
It was nowhere near capacity.
It was like a rock crowd plus. Right. But it still looked great. Like they lit it so that it looked like it felt like a big main event. This was back to what it used to feel like for WrestleManias, though. The last time they were here in Dallas, they, you know, broke their indoor attendance records, fudging the numbers a bit to get to 100K, but still like a packed stadium. Here, both nights were about 77,000 people, so it was still a lot. They sort of reworked it so that it wasn't meant to fit 100,000, so it didn't look like there were empty spots. But we are in an era where NXT, as we knew it, is sort of officially dead. There's 2.0 going on, which I'm sort of not following. Two nights now means, what do you do with the Hall of Fame? What do you do with NXT TakeOver? Because that, or not TakeOver, but the NXT pay-per-view.
And SmackDown now being on Fridays.
Right, and no longer being able to be pre-taped. A new thing
when the pandemic happened. So it's like they hadn't really had to deal with that on a permanent basis yet.
So you used to be able to do like TakeOver Saturdays, Hall of Fame's Fridays. SmackDown had already been taken care of. Raw after Mania is already a thing. So now they sort of had to cram the SmackDown and the Hall of Fame together, and the Hall of Fame didn't have the stage element anymore. That had the everyone was went to the ring, like they made it more of a ceremony in the middle of the ring. And then the more curious and interesting aspect was putting the NXT pay-per-view the afternoon of night one of WrestleMania,
right?
Which, if you're a hardcore wrestling fan, that is a lot. But here's the thing: if you are traveling, unlike you and me, who like have had the privilege of being able to travel for business and pick and choose what we go to if we feel like it, in some regard, and also having NXT on a completely different night. If you are traveling from elsewhere in the country or from elsewhere in the world, you do want to sort of pack this time with as much wrestling as possible. So maybe it's not as much of a chore as you and I would feel like it is, but that's still a lot to go to. And then to the, you know, a full night of WrestleMania after that. And Dallas is not the most WrestleMania friendly town as far as travel, because WrestleMania is in Arlington, which is a good half hour to 40 minutes away, more with traffic from the Dallas downtown area where the American Airlines Center is, where Raw and NXT was. So it's a lot to sort of go there, experience that, get to that. I did probably half, maybe at least a quarter of what I would usually cram into a WrestleMania weekend. So I didn't go to SmackDown Hall of Fame. I didn't go to NXT. Mm-hmm. I allowed myself one extra sort of fun wrestling thing, which was on Friday, and it was in the afternoon, which was perfect. April and I went to the MLW Fusion taping in downtown Dallas, and it was done by Five, and it was great because there was a Ring of Honor super card of honor that night that I really wanted to go to, but I just couldn't do that many nights in a row. Like and that wound up being an awesome show that, you know, sorry I missed, but, you know, can't live inside regret. But so now, yeah. So we're in this era where like NXT isn't what it was. So therefore the Raw after Mania also isn't quite what it was. And so the call-ups aren't going to be there. The crowd is different. There are no beach balls. There's no football chants from overseas. Like, it's just not, Raw after Mania is just not what it was either. Mm-hmm. I was so surprised I did go to Raw last night, but I did leave early and got home and saw the final segment with Roman Reigns. That they just allowed that segment to go uninterrupted. Like, he just came out and said, I'm the champ now. And that's how Raw ended. Like, that does not feel like a Raw after Mania at all.
No. And the crowd, I was reading this on Twitter too. So I only saw bits and pieces of, I didn't have, you know, time. I'd have to be watching it right now since we're doing this early in the morning. So I just watched a lot of the YouTube clips, but even watching those and reading Twitter, people were like, oh, this has not got the same energy as a normal Raw after Mania crowd. And that might also be, you still travel is still tricky for a lot of people right now and stuff. And you're probably not good, like you said, about not having the international football chance and stuff. Like, you probably didn't have as many people from overseas. And,
I feel like that's the case. I feel like maybe some people also left before Raw and, you know, like, a lot of people, I don't know. It's just a different feeling. And I don't know if it ever, you know, it might not ever come back to the way it was pre-pandemic.
Right.
Though I do feel like the Raws after Manias were already calming their tits before the pandemic. I feel like the height of the Raw after Mania was at its peak sort of like in the last decade. And then once, then it started petering out after WWE felt like when WWE embraced the Raw after Mania aspect of it and it wasn't sort of like in control, it wasn't like hijacked by the fans anymore, and they were sort of, there was a sweet spot where it was the fans being crazy and them booking for our fan anticipation, and there were like a few years when it was great, then it just sort of like faded away because WWE took the reins on it too much, and then the balance was off, and now it's just regular Raw.
So it's also sorry, give me a second.
No, I was just trying to lead us into actual Mania talk because I know you're limited on time.
So. Yeah, I am, but I just want to say that like NXT, it is really weird, like, because I was, you know, I haven't been watching NXT regularly at all, and the fact that Stand and Deliver was Saturday afternoon really threw me. I had wondered, I was like, what are they doing a takeover? What's even happening? And when could they schedule it? And then it turns out it's Saturday afternoon. I'm just like, that is weird. And it just makes it feel like a lesser thing, which, you know, just it's crammed in there now. It's just weird because, you know, our experience on a Mania weekend is we might've watched some NXT wrestlers in matches at Access.
Yeah.
You know, a few hours before Mania, as we're walking around. But yeah, to have it be its own event at a separate venue, you know, just a few hours before is just very strange. And if it were the NXT of 5 years ago, that would be a different thing because it would still be like, the fans would be like, I don't care, I need to be there. But now because it is just feels like such a different product, it just kind of gives,
well,
once again puts it in this sort of stranger, smaller category.
And you know, previously in a different NXT, they would have come close to selling out the American Airlines Arena.
Right.
Also, so 2.0 plus Saturday afternoon meant that like it was sort of sparsely populated. It was only like 4,000 to 5,000 people in there, to the point where like the first match had just ended and Stephanie McMahon's Twitter account sent out a tweet saying like tickets still available for NXT Stand and Deliver.
No,
I was like, oh no, like just getting walk-ins, like anyone in, pulling people in off the street.
Hey, they're doing some sort of wrestling show. Should we go in?
Hey, want to see a Paramount movie? We're doing a screening right now. all right, let's get into WrestleMania night one. We can have lots of fun. I am so glad that Charlotte and Ronda, which I don't know why we were led to believe that was going to be the main event. I think that's just how the Wikipedia page had the card laid out. I don't think it was ever fully announced that was going on last, but many of us certainly thought it was going on last when in reality, the main event should have been Bianca versus Becky. And that match was certainly treated like it because they got the big entrances.
Yes.
The choice to put Stone Cold on last was the smart one, because we didn't know it would turn into, like, what we didn't know was the Easter egg hidden inside that segment, what it was going to turn into an actual bell ringing match, right? Yeah. Like, so that was still that or Bianca versus, if Stone Cold had just been a segment where it was the KO show and he stunned him, then they could have put that on earlier in the show. But because it turned into a full on Steve Austin final match, it was the right call. And it was awesome. But what were your overall impressions of night one of WrestleMania?
You know, well, I hope I'm not cheating here by just saying, like, my overall impressions of this entire WrestleMania were
and your amazing viewing experience of the event.
Yes, we're very positive. Night one, probably even more so. Like, yeah, I thought this was a very good WrestleMania overall. And night one, yeah. So my experiences of watching it were unique in that I was at WonderCon. I was covering WonderCon, a convention in Anaheim. Got back to my hotel an hour into Mania. And then couldn't get it to the internet was so sucky. It would not play. I could see images of, the Mysterios versus Logan Paul and, the Miz, and I couldn't make it actually play. It would just get stuck. And then I finally got it to play right before, Becky and, Bianca on my phone. So I watched night one.
That's where I watch all my Chris Nolan movies, Eric.
Right. On my phone. Just propped up in my hotel room.
That's my Tenet viewing machine.
That's your Tenet viewing machine. I later went back and watched the hour I missed. However, I very much enjoyed night one. I thought, there were a couple of matches I could have done without. But overall, there was a lot, the highlights were very high.
That's how Mania goes, though. I thought that this overall two nights was a good WrestleMania. I enjoyed myself. I mm-hmm. thought the crowd was really into it. Like usual, there are going to be a few matches that feel like SmackDown matches that are just sort of like amped up a little bit because the crowd is super pumped because it's Mania. But like the first couple matches on night two felt like, oh, these could have been done on just regular TV. But
right. Same with the first two matches of night one, honestly.
Though. Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. Oh, yeah. Drew versus Happy Corbin, definitely. Which is so weird because they've been building to this for months when nobody ever felt like it was worth a two-month build. But yeah, the highs are always super high. You're always going to get awesome entrances as well. I have to say, year after year, I'm always impressed by the WrestleMania production, the set, the screens are amazing. AT&T Center now has a massive, massive screen in the middle of it that like looks like you're watching a movie. So those of us in the press box who are pretty far back don't have to watch our TVs and don't have to watch the ring and also don't have to watch the tinier Jumbotron screens out there. There's like a massive kaiju sized screen that we could watch if we could choose to.
Right.
And the laser shows, just everything, the LED screens they use are amazing. And I feel like, so the first match was Usos versus Nakamura and Boogs, who unfortunately legitimately injured himself during that match and will now require surgery. And for all we can tell, they had to change the match or at least rush to the finish of the match because of it. And it wasn't a great way to open the show, but I don't think it really killed the energy that much. The fact that like it then went right into Drew versus Happy Corbin was sort of like, okay, like you said, both of these matches aren't like huge openers to get the crowd up and on their feet. I think the crowd was doing a lot of the heavy lifting here as far as like, we're at WrestleMania and we're also happy to be live, coming through the last 2 years, and we're just also overjoyed.
It's one of the downsides of two nights, probably, is that they didn't have like one more bigger match on night one that would have more naturally been the big match to kick off,
Yeah, they put the Andre the Giant Battle Royal on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
which at least would have brought Finn Balor out because he didn't get to have a WrestleMania match. Neither did Ricochet. And I'm just talking about them because they are both the respective US and Intercontinental champions who were left off the WrestleMania card. But Drew versus Happy Corbin. I feel bad that Baron Corbin constantly seems to have the WrestleMania career of you wish it wasn't Happy Corbin facing the guy you like better. Like,
I know.
Nobody wanted him to be Kurt Angle's final match. Nobody really wanted this for Drew McIntyre. But this, they always seem to have to fit Happy Corbin in somewhere.
It's funny because I'd missed when he became Happy Corbin, and it was amusing to me to find that out. But also, I was legit loving Despondent Corbin, and I thought he was doing
that. People really did like that. Yeah,
it was done. He did really good work with that, and it was so over the top. with how pathetic he was, that I thought it was very funny. And I thought, you know, they could have milked that longer.
We joked in the past about how they always say, like, if you get fired from the WWE, if you have a match where you lose your job with WWE, that, like, the only thing after that is the soup kitchen, the soup, right, the unemployment line, like, you're like down on your luck.
The way that they act. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a dirt covered face coal miner. Like,
right. There's no opportunity for any other employment.
You haven't saved any of your, yeah, you have nothing in savings. You have made no other investments in your life. And it is straight to just eating, stealing bread from pigeons in the park. But so that this really leaned into that, to the point where we were supposed to believe he was destitute, yet also still gainfully employed by WWE.
Right, right.
At the same time. Like, he had an active WWE contract, but was absolutely destitute.
Right. But smashing cans open on the sidewalk.
It's just like, as somehow WWE allowed week in and week out, an actual boxcar hobo to walk in and just wrestle their talent.
Sure.
So, he lost it. The match was fine. We were still, everything was going fine.
Big sword chopped the ring.
So Miz and Logan Paul versus the Mysterios was up next, and it was a really fun match. And Miz, once again, like we will see with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, is just one of their great go-to guys, like Miz, especially because he's been doing it longer, for WWE at least, go-to guys for bringing in and working with celebrities and making them look great, helping them train. Like last year, we're talking about the Bad Bunny situation where, you know, Bad Bunny and, you know, almost Royal Rumble winner, Bad Bunny at this point, also Grammy winner from this past weekend. But yeah, it just went over amazingly. And fuck Logan Paul. This is just one of those things where, you know, I say fuck Logan Paul, fuck Ronda Rousey. A lot of these people that they bring in are not great people. He was playing the heel here, though. And like, you know, he's talented. He looks great. He's tall. He's athletic. He could do the Three Amigos and a really great looking frog splash, too, to draw a lot of ire from the crowd and us in the press box. And now it looks like he's going to be a baby face going forward, which I'm even less into. But overall,
unless
a fun match.
They lean into the fact that people were happy the Miz, you know, turned on him. I think Logan Paul is a shitty person, but I guess I have to give him the respect of that he put the work in. I mean, across the board, I mean, we'll talk about it with this Mania, but obviously Bad Bunny last year. There's someone else I'm flanking on us, but. It's like the bar has been raised on these celebrity matches a lot, whether it be actually like pulling off cool wrestling moves or in the case of the Jackass stuff, just like really delivering on an entertainment value that you can't kind of do, like just get away with what you used to do in the past with celebrity matches. And so, yeah, Logan Paul, I will say, he put in the work. He looked good. He clearly, you know, there is, it's funny that Bad Bunny is now the bar. He wasn't at the Bad Bunny level, but he still looked very credible in there. And then, you know, has the heel, and then yes, you kind of had this little twist ending with they win, but then Miz turns on him. I would love if they just then now Miz is the baby face for that reason.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they weren't brought out for Raw after Mania, because Miz would have been cheered for that. There's still an element of the old WrestleMania crowd in the, you know, it's not completely dead.
Oh, yeah.
They did boo Hulk Hogan last night at the American Airlines Center, so that was great. Going forward on Raw, though, I do feel like they can get him over more as a babyface with the regular sort of like just TV circuit crowd. Fun match. This really went over well. And as you know, with respect to like the people they bring in that Eric and I aren't fans of, look, none of us in our lives want to be judged by our worst moment. But so we do want to allow everyone the opportunity to grow, including ourselves, as far as like us as human beings and going forward. For all reports, he was nothing but respectful and nice to everyone backstage and like trained hard and really worked to pull this match off. You know, we're also talking about somebody who's still compared to me and Eric, a child. So yeah, we hope Logan Paul succeeds and also succeeds in wrestling and as a human being going forward. Becky versus Bianca amazing. Like, yeah. I can't even imagine. So here's the thing. Both this or Stone Cold could have ended the night. Like this, if Stone Cold wasn't what it was, like I said, if it didn't turn into an actual official final match, this would have been the perfect capper for the night. They got the big entrances. Mm-hmm. It was really emotional. They both looked like a fucking zillion bucks. I didn't catch what everyone was referring to on Twitter as the MCU opening.
I watched it again and I saw.
Yeah, so I guess I was like staring at my laptop when her sort of MCU like title card opening.
That was literally when I started to watch it on my phone. I was like halfway through that her entrance. So
yeah, just an amazing moment and a payoff that they maybe never quite intended when it happened. But a payoff to the absolutely abysmal moment from SummerSlam that Eric and I witnessed in person.
Yes.
With Bianca losing. So yeah, now, so what was it like? We're like 7 months later now, the payoff as far as like what we're getting with
Redemption.
A full match and a big Bianca win. So
yeah. So second year in a row with a big Bianca win, both meaningful in different ways. But yeah, this was a hello match. Again, it was my first Mania match that I would watch. I would go back later and watch what I missed. But yeah, just thrilling. They both like, you know, went all out. Yeah, this was super exciting, and it coupled with what happened right after, which wasn't quite at the same level, but still had its own incredible innate excitement. It was a really cool portion of the night.
Yeah, so right after this, we went right into husband and wife got to like go right back to back as far as like we went right into Seth Rollins, and man. There was like, you know, you're 85% sure Cody Rhodes is coming out.
Yes.
You just, and it's like, but you always have to leave that extra room for what if it's someone else? What if it's someone we don't anticipate? What if it's.
And can it be someone who will actually be thrilling?
No. Well, that's the thing. It's Cody. Like, because it's like, whoa, is anyone coming out? Like RIP, anyone coming out who isn't Cody Rhodes at that point, unless you're The Rock. Like, right. But that's not going to happen. So. Anyone else they were bringing out, Gable Stevenson, who would show up the second night. Anyone who was making their surprise debut, it couldn't be an NXT call-up because no one gives a shit at this point. So it had to be Cody Rhodes or nothing. It reminded me of the Royal Rumble when everyone was expecting Daniel Bryan to still be in the Royal Rumble and there was only number 30 left to come out. So everyone's on their feet waiting for Daniel Bryan to come out for a Royal Rumble redemption. And it was Rey Mysterio and poor Rey Mysterio suffering the slings and arrows from that crowd because he wasn't.
You're not Bryan. Daniel Bryan.
He's like, Bryan. You're right. I'm not. Oh, Rey Mysterio, not good enough. I think Cody Rhodes had to come out and yeah. And it was what everyone was anticipating, which was, Cody Rhodes as the American Nightmare in his garb, in with his song.
I didn't know that he could use the song.
The thing is, like, AEW is not like the massive corporate machine that WWE is, as like clamping down on trademarks and things like that, right. As far as music and names and stuff like that, like as we just saw recently with Pete Dunne, amazing technical superstar Pete Dunne. Spent years crafting his own name and identity in both NXT brands, gets brought up as Butch, a lackey of Sheamus, yes. with a piggy blinders
previous
cap.
Accomplishments mean nothing.
Exactly. But they own the name Butch, I guess. How can you, first of all, you can't own the name Butch. So I'm surprised they didn't give him a last name, but yeah. Butch McButcherson. So this and I think like this match, it was a great match. Everyone was just so super into this. And I understand that there are camps. I know that there are camps, Eric. There are Team AEW, there's Team WWE, and there's this weird online rivalry that is very easy to stay away from if you just don't give a shit about like that kind of thing. Both companies have their ups and downs. Both companies have their good sides and bad sides. I understand why someone wouldn't want to watch AEW. I understand why someone wouldn't want to watch WWE. I do find like with WWE, you're more creatively disappointed because there's such a mechanism of meh at times, as far as like they have the chance to do really cool things on a weekly basis and they just sort of choose not to. It's like they choose to hold back so much. They could be right. so much more, and they're not because they don't have to be, right? AEW's in a sort of a situation where they have to be, and they have to grab you week after week. And so they are, they're
hungry.
They've got all their cards on the table. They're like, yeah, they're hungry, and they're giving you feuds that you want to see. And WWE just constantly is sort of like keeps things in check and keeps things a lot more modest to their detriment. But you know, everyone's going to have online opinions about Cody Rhodes, like, and his choice to leave the company that he helped start. But everyone's on a journey that we don't understand, and everyone's making decisions in their life that we're not a part of. And God forbid they don't consult us about what they choose to do.
It was very funny and surprising. And I guess says something about a corporate decision that Cody's, embargoed first interview that went up like simultaneously, basically the second after he came out about his return was with Variety.
Yeah, very interesting.
That was interesting. Not the usual go-to for our wrestling news. So Variety get, which I think probably speaks to WWE and where they want to be seen. You know, we're big entertainment. We're, you know, part of, we're the same as like, you know, Marvel Studios. Like that's what they, you know, the perception they want. So they did Variety. But everything, you know, of course, he did do press afterwards. But then even his promo on Monday night, he, you know, he's being very diplomatic about why he left AEW. He doesn't want to get into a pissing match about it. One day, I'm sure they'll talk more openly about it. But
and why are we owed that?
We're not owed that.
Why are we owed anything?
And if both parties want to just be respectful, then that's very nice in this world. So, you know, sometimes people just have disagreements and, you know.
I feel like a lot of it just has to do with, like, his own goals, his career. And, like, everyone's saying, like, oh, ask me how he feels 6 months from now when, like, his push dries up and he's mid-carding and he's, like, bad. It's like, I don't know. Maybe him coming out at WrestleMania to that pop and his song was enough. Maybe that's like one of the biggest things he's ever done in his career, and everything has been a culmination leading to that type of thing. And eventually he's going to win the WWE championship, which is a huge personal reason why he came back. Like, literally, that's a huge reason.
Well, that's what I was going to mention, is that there clearly is a falling out that happened with AEW that, again, they're being very respectful about and don't, neither side wants to like get into. But his decision to go back to WWE, I mean, he, you know, what he said in his promo Monday night is what he said in all the press he's done out of character, which is, you know, he wants to be WWE champion, and that is a personal goal. And now obviously returns on in such a different level. So it's bizarre. Like, you know, we didn't talk about it that much because we didn't do it on a podcast, because we didn't do it. We enjoy wrestling. Just inevitably people were going to go back to WWE who were in AEW. But I think everyone figured it'd be Jericho or someone like that. Not the guy who was like the founder of AEW, right. Not the guy who was the face of the company.
Not the guy who like took a sledgehammer to Triple H's throne during the first official pay-per-view. I feel like, well, the other thing is like, and look, I love AEW. I watch it every week. I watch the pay-per-views. I'm going to Double or Nothing. I just feel like people who feel betrayed by Cody leaving is a little bit of like, hey, he was ours to abuse, because this dude spent the last 8 months
getting booed at the end.
He was in a pit of boos that he could not get out of unless he turned heel, and he didn't want to turn heel. Like it's kind of like what the hole that Seth Rollins found himself in facing Bray Wyatt. He had to turn heel afterwards, and he's been heel ever since, by the way. He never came back into being babyface. So like this guy was being booed to the point where like he used to come out at the beginning of Dynamite tapings, and then at the end of Dynamite tapings to thank the crowd with the Young Bucks and everyone and Kenny, like, and everyone would cheer and just be happy to see him. And now he couldn't do that. Like, he couldn't come out. He tried so many things to like get himself over, like nearly killing himself in matches, teaming up with people guys who were being cheered. Right. And like the crowd was just sort of like very contrarian and just got into that loop of, oh, we boo Cody. And we're going to force him to become heel. We're going to manifest this ourselves. And he didn't want that. And he jumped over to another company and just got a massive, massive babyface pop in front of almost 80,000 people. So, like,
yeah,
everyone's got their own reasons. All right. I really enjoyed the match. I actually enjoyed the match more than the Edge AJ Styles match the next night, which is the one I was anticipating being the show stealer. And it was good. It just never was what everyone wanted it to be. And that's fine. Let's go into Charlotte versus Ronda.
You'll need to carry this one, Matt, because full disclosure, I completely conked out during this match. And it's not because of the match.
No,
if
it was because of the match, that's fine, because the match was a snoozer. So,
and that's what I've heard. It was just I'd been at a convention for 2 days and I hadn't slept well, and I was laying on my side watching my phone.
The thing. I don't need to carry this because I'm not going to talk about it a lot, except for the fact that it was right to not make this the main event, especially because, well, here's the thing. A couple things. I'm not a Ronda fan. I'm not the biggest Charlotte fan in the world, though. I'm very happy that she beat Ronda and the right person won here. Ronda is also coming back to way less buzz, a split crowd. This crowd booed basically both of them. So imagine if this went on last, like that would have been terrible. Like
it would have been like Brock versus Roman a few years ago.
Okay. So let's skip over to the second night really quickly, just to the main event. Talk about Brock versus Roman, since you just brought it up. But like, yeah, glad Charlotte won. Ronda does not have the crowd support she did when she first came into the company, and actually had a very entertaining first WrestleMania match against the McMahons. But yeah, so okay, let's talk about the difference a handful of years make, actually, with Brock versus Roman in the main event night two. An okay match. It's the match we expected them to have, full of like they're hitting themselves with their 2-3 signature moves back and forth on each other over and over again, and then kicking out over and over. And that's kind of like what we expected, but the crowd was way into it. I felt the intensity, even though I wasn't into the match. Everyone's loved heel Roman since he started. Like, he's just gotten better and better. And so the differences that you just brought up when we were in Santa Clara watching the first match, where Roman was a babyface, everyone was booing. They loved the fact that Brock was just ragdolling him around the ring for like 10 minutes, like Suplex City. But it was still a dud of a match until Seth Rollins came out and made the match an instant memorable classic because he saved that match.
Oh no,
Since then, and so I'm talking about the first one when people were booing Roman. Now the second one,
the first one had the thrilling end with Seth. Yeah.
Then the second one, they were still doing a babyface Roman who people were booing.
Yep.
Like
there was much more even like we're over Brock.
Oh yeah, people were still were tired of Rock at that point. So that match just went over completely flat.
Beach balls. It was, we are so checked out of this main event.
There were chants, maybe even CM Punk chants, like at that point, like it was awful. And so, yeah, the difference now, some of the differences. Heel Roman, who's now coming off of a very like main eventing, two main events in the two WrestleMania main events in the row, within the same title run.
Yeah.
Like, he is undefeated now, two WrestleManias. He is going strong with a very long title run, including two WrestleMania main events as a heel. And people are really into this heel Roman Reigns and love him and respect him. And he gets heel heat, but he also gets heel respect. And it's great. And Brock, now being a very different Brock, a Brock who is dominating in the ring, but also losing because he lost at... when did he lose? He lost in Saudi Arabia, whatever it was, not Elimination Chamber, but he lost in Saudi Arabia. So he is losing, and he lost to Roman Reigns previously in Saudi Arabia. So he's taking pinfalls now, and he's smiling. He's cutting his own promos. I don't know what happened to flip that switch that now he can actually cut an entertaining promo as a babyface, but that wasn't a thing he did previously, and why he needed Paul Heyman in both of his and all of his title runs, really, like, right? Like, and the fact that this crowd was just really into what was being put in front of them. Like, this was a pretty good WrestleMania crowd as far as like, happy to be back after, you know, the pandemic lockdown year, and then last year, like the smaller WrestleMania, and everyone's sort of traveling and out and about, and just an overall good vibe. But yeah, I'm not saying the match itself was a stunner, but like the crowd was super into it, and it felt like a main event, even if you weren't into the outcome necessarily.
Yeah, the Charlotte and Charlotte and Ronda, yeah, it just felt like, yeah, going into it, yeah, they're just, like you said, like Ronda doesn't have the same like level of like hyper buzz. She, unfortunately, unlike Brock, has not grown as a promo, doing promos.
Like in the ring.
No.
As like an actual wrestler that doesn't rely as much on her MMA submission holds, because they lean into that with her, but she's also not picking up the fundamentals the way, you know, Kurt Angle spoiled us in a huge way, as far as like somebody coming from a different athletic arena into wrestling and picking up really quickly. It can be done, but like he was such a fast track and caught on so quickly that we're all like spoiled when somebody doesn't get it right away. Other people obviously have gotten it over the years, mostly football players, but like Roman Reigns and even Pat McAfee, who's had a tremendous showing, was a lot of fun. Talented in the ring, can like jump up to the top rope for a superplex. Amazing. All right. Really quickly, let's get into Stone Cold and KO, which was the main event for the first night. Stone Cold, he hasn't been away for 19 years. He's been back. Like, in fact, the last time in Dallas, he was in the ring. Like, he's come back for WrestleManias and pops and like segments where he stuns someone. Like,
he's been and he's been just a regular ongoing presence, down, you know, including his like podcast shows being on first WWE Network, now Peacock. So it's like, yeah, he's definitely stayed a ongoing part of our WWE lives.
It's so crazy that like, and obviously in the end, looking back, it makes sense that it was turned into a match. But the fact that like, I'm going to have a KO show at WrestleMania and my guest is Steve Austin and I'm going to kick his ass. Like, right. It's like, there was no, like, my guest is, and I have some questions he needs answering. Right. Like, it's nothing like,
I'm not going to go easy on him with my questions.
Yeah. It's like, no, he's going to come out and we're going to fight on my talk show. So it was never like, there was never an instance where we thought like there weren't going to be fist thrones and stunners pulled. Right. Like, but the fact that it got turned into his final match was really great, because he wasn't able to tell people that what his final match was. His final match, we only learned it was his final match after it happened with The Rock, right? Because he was told like, hey, you're going to be paralyzed if you wrestle anymore, and he made the decision to just have that one more match with The Rock, and that was his final match. So we didn't get to say goodbye after the match. They didn't get to like have the hype of it being that. And now, so this was his final match, and it was absolutely the pop for him, obviously, but then not just the pop for him coming out was expected, but the pop for like the bell ringing on the match.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is real. This is going to have a finish with a referee. And it was great. He took some bump. He took a bump on the outside of the ring.
I was like, shocked by that one. And of course, you know, you're like, oh, are you okay to do that? You know, not only because, you know, ring rust, but because he had physical reasons, he stopped wrestling and he's an older guy now. So you're just like, are you okay to do this? But because he thankfully came through fine. And so it was very impressive when he took that bump, not expecting that.
And he won, and he got to cover himself in a lot of beer, and Kevin Owens in a lot of beer. And it would not be the last we saw of Steve Austin that weekend, but all due respect to Becky and Bianca, this was, I think, the right way to go with what should have closed night one. Again, had this not been what it was, and had not been an actual match, Becky and Bianca should have closed for sure.
Yeah. I mean, of course, in our suspension of disbelief thing, you know, like, and this happens on Raw all the time, we make fun of it all the time with Raw, which is the bookings, the fact that we're to believe that WWE would have ended Mania with a talk show, even one where both the people are saying, I'm going to attack you, to the other
person. No, that was the thing. It's like, obviously, like, we're to believe that, like, booking wise, they're like, yeah, we're good with them just talking and maybe one stunner. That's good for the end of WrestleMania. All right. Night two crowd got Triple H coming out, leaving his boots in the ring, sort of like, this is another person. Sometimes wrestlers don't get to say like goodbye as far as like having their final like runs with matches leading up to a big one, like, oh, this is my final match. Which is why we wanted poor Baron Corbin, which is why we wanted more from Kurt Angle's final match, because he did get like somebody who was going to be his final WrestleMania opponent, and it just turned out to be Corbin. Triple H, after his heart attack, like, you know, he announced a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that he wasn't wrestling anymore. It was, his in-ring career was over.
Yeah.
I don't think it came as a surprise to anyone. I am very glad that his final match wasn't the awful DX versus the Brothers of Destruction Saudi Arabia match, but his final match still wasn't like a memorable one, because I had to look at what I had to literally look up what it was. It was, I think it was with Randy Orton, but yeah, so he got to come out, and I feel this parts of me, I don't know his life, I don't know how he feels, but I feel bad for like, obviously this happening to him, NXT happening to him, like everything, all the hard work he put into NXT and everyone involved with that, him, Regal, like so on, like, and have it sort of becoming what it is. I don't know. And then, you know, seeing a lot of people that he helped basically leave the company and go to AEW. I don't know where Gargano is going to wind up. Ciampa, I think, is still, he had his final NXT match, but I think he's going to be on the main roster, but what are they going to do with him?
Right.
He obviously already moved up to the main roster before he officially left NXT too. So there's no big call up moment for him anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great to see Triple H. Cause I was wondering at that point, like, what does night two have to offer? Like to, sort of, counterbalance night one. Then we got the RK Bro opener.
And I just want to say, it's like,
yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it was a nice moment. It was funny. It went on so long, like, and he obviously has earned it. It's just funny because it's like, he already is in the Hall of Fame, you know, as a member of DX. He's clearly going to go in solo probably next year. So on one hand, it's like, if you're not, I know, well, wrestling, that's not true. So there are some WrestleMania casual fans. So it was a little funny to me, like how long it went on, because he didn't do more, like he wasn't obviously going to have a match or anything. I just wondered if he might like make a big announcement or something, but at the same time, he has earned that moment. And there was like, it was, and you know, it was kind of a funny dichotomy. He came out in the suit, but he still did the spitting of water, which was fun. The putting, leaving the boots behind, it was just, yeah, it was a nice moment to give. And I think, on the second, like you said, the second night of Mania, like kind of needing a little more, shine to it, it added to that by kicking off with him doing that.
Especially because people didn't know Steve Austin was coming out. Again, right. I'm talking about like what's advertised for night two.
What
do you know, can anticipate. Yeah. Right. All right. So RK Bro versus Alpha Academy versus Street Profits, fun opener. Could have been an email, like could have been on SmackDown, but it was still fun. Randy Orton still looks like he's having a great time. And they introduced Gable Stevenson.
They introduced him the night before too.
Now he got to get into it and yes. be on the other Gable. So Gable on Gable Crimes here. Yep. And he gave him a belly to belly suplex.
I fear for Chad Gable being renamed Shorty again. If they decide that they can't have two prominent Gable.
I guess they're just going to call him Chad from now on. Right.
Like, yeah, probably.
Cause it's like, Chad. If he has a match, I can't say Gable here hurting versus, like, I have to say Chad and Gable or
look, Otis already lost his last name. So why not Chad and Otis?
Did Otis ever have a last name?
Yeah. He had a last name when they what were Heavy Machinery.
Otisburg.
It was Otisburg. Now I can't remember. Dojovic.
Oh God, I don't remember.
I remember
very man, well. That sounds a lot like Dominik Dijakovic.
When he was on when he was on NXT, yeah, he had.
Oh, okay, whatever. Okay. The Lashley almost match went on too long, but I'm glad at Lashley won. Like nobody wanted to see this, but I'm glad Lashley got a good WrestleMania moment and was able to come out and wrestle after getting sort of chumped at Elimination Chamber and losing the title without being in the match. All right, let's talk about the We don't often talk about art here on We Enjoy Wrestling, much less high art, much less like elevated art. Let's talk about Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn. An amazing, and I don't care. And I don't give it, like, if you're out here to hate on this match, like, get the fuck out, because this was absolutely, the press box was great this year. April and I went on night one, and then on night two, it was just me, and I left early, but I was there for this. The press box was great this year. Cheers, jeers, boos, laughs, like, very fun. We've experienced that in the past, Eric, with, like, big pops and, like, moments where we get really into it, but I felt like this year was one of the best, especially during this match. Like, I can't imagine that there was anyone up there actually like laughing and cheering, but then like taking to their keyboard and being like, oh, this is what the WWE is for kids, you know, like being all grinchy about it. Like, it's possible, but like, I'll say that everyone who was there was way into the fucking hand and the mousetrap table and the ball kicking machine and the bowling ball and the mousetrap, like, holy shit. 20 out of 10.
It escalated as it, and like it was a definitely great case of give the fans what they want, because someone on my feed, I forget who, said Wee Man better be under that ring.
Yeah,
and guess what, everyone, Wee Man was under that ring, and then he freaking body slammed Sami Zayn. This was a delight. Party boy Chris Pontius showed up.
Even with my cursory knowledge of the Jackass franchise,
right.
Like, this is all, I don't think I need to see, like, I think I've been jackassed. I don't need to see like an actual episode or a movie at this point, because they like play the hits, right? Like, like
they played the hits. And it was funny because people had, you know, made a couple of snarky things about the fact that, you know, it was definitely like the B or C list jackassers were the ones in the crowd, which was true. But then a couple of the major other guys were like the surprise entry, you know, Steve-O wasn't there, but Chris Pontius and Wee Man were. And yeah, it was so fun. It was the kind of match where like, yeah, it's like the giant hand is so great, because this is a great suspension of disbelief moment, because clearly the crowd would see the giant hand being set up. And so would everyone involved in the match. Like Sami Zayn would have like peripheral vision to notice it. It was kept off camera as a surprise, and I loved it. You know, it
just, yeah. But also, like, how many times do wrestlers set up elaborate table things like for no reason except for a spot like 15 right. minutes later? Like, you know, right, like right. Why is he setting the table there? Like, he's not even doing anything with it right now. It's just for later, and we accept it. It's just all part of the show.
And I like that there was a table covered in mouse traps, which of course did get, you know, used, but then a giant mouse trap on top of it. Also, by the way, the ball kicking machine, it looked like it was just a scary spike on top that you would use to remove someone's eye. So there were two ways to go if you wanted to use that device. But yeah, this was super fun, you know, where obviously Knoxville was not doing, and you know, Knoxville, there was concern about the fact that this guy's, you know, a lot of physical abuse in his life.
He's had multiple concussions. Yeah.
A bad one, making Jackass Forever, that has made him say, I need to step back from the crazier stunts. So he was not going to do and of course he's older, so he's not going to be like Logan Paul or Bad Bunny, but play to your strengths, play to the Jackass of it all. Sami Zayn was great. And a lot of well-deserved love for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn this weekend, to, you know, real life, longtime friends, excellent wrestlers, who haven't been given, like, you know, Roman Reigns style, like, you're at the top of the heap, baby, even though Owens has been champ, but both proved, you know, why they're worth every cent. And they both recently re-signed with WWE in moments where people thought this is their chance to go to AEW.
Yeah.
And instead, they stuck around with WWE and performed great this weekend.
Sami should win it, should get into the Hall of Fame just for this. Like, that's it.
Yes.
Like, just for the, so, because at some point Johnny Knoxville is going to go into the celebrity wing, and Sami's going to have to induct him, but I think Sami should go in as well. Michael actually wrote in a question. So Mike from San Antonio wrote in a question, a wrestling-related WrestleMania question, that we've already addressed some of it. So he writes, Dear We Enjoys, I was curious where the Cody Rhodes of it all lands for you when he left AEW and the rumors started up. I was mostly meh about it. Even when it was obvious he wasn't going to be Seth's opponent, I still felt like it really wasn't, even when it was obvious he was, sorry, going to be Seth's opponent, I still felt it really wasn't moving the needle. Then his entrance got an all-time pop, and I feel like a real forbidden dork for doubting him. Secondly, when you're watching up in the press box, I was wondering if you get a live broadcast stream up there. WWE sells so much of their stories through commentary, it seems like it would be important for writing reviews. Yes. So to address the second paragraph here first, Mike, yes, the press box always has a stream going.
Sometimes we have to ask them to turn the volume up.
For better or worse, this year was really good because the best situation is the Superdome in New Orleans because the press box is open air. There's no glass. There's no plexiglass. There's no distance from the crowd noise because sometimes press boxes, you have a barrier and you can hear the crowd, but not the full weight of the crowd because you're in a room separate. And then sometimes also the feed that's going on that you're getting is on a time delay. And so you'll hear the crowd pop and you won't see what it is on your feed until like 2 or 3 seconds later. And it's kind of jarring. This year was actually really good because the plexiglass had holes and slits in it so that you could still hear the full crowd noise as well. And there was probably a second delay on our feed. But yes, we always get the commentator feed as well, because you're right. That is important because then we're just seeing a live show and that's kind of weird. So something like WrestleMania, you definitely need it. And then the first part, I think we all were wondering what was going to happen with Cody when he came out. But if anyone was going to get it, it was going to be the WrestleMania crowd, especially with his song and his entrance and stuff. And you know, I would say there are certainly people who only watch AEW, obviously. I think the majority watch both or at least keep track of both. So it's not like he's coming out and be like, what's this Cody Rhodes gimmick? Maybe a few people, but certainly not the majority of everyone. All right. You got to get out of here. So let's what's left? Only one women's match on night two, sort of a crowded affair here, but really well done and happy for Sasha Banks and Naomi. Sasha breaking, I think, her WrestleMania streak of always losing at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, it was her first win, which is a surprise. But then, it's like, oh, no. Yeah, she hasn't had those winning moments at Mania. I in no way am I upset about Naomi and Sasha winning. Even though it's funny that has a tag team, you just wonder how sustainable is this, because Sasha Banks is like such a, they keep playing her like promo package they made just for her. They've been playing for
the Sasha months. Banks commercial. Yeah.
The Sasha Banks commercial. So it feels like inevitably they have to split within a few months. But Naomi, first of all, is great too, and had been kind of sidelined for a while. And so I'm glad to see her back in the spotlight. They look like $1 million. And it was, they took that great picture with Bianca backstage with the three of them with their belts. I just want our buddy Liv Morgan to get a goddamn title at some point.
I know. And then they lost last night on Raw. And then it looked like she was mad at Liv, and Liv looked teary eyed and Liv can't catch a break. Maybe that's her story. I don't want that to be her story.
I guess maybe it hasn't been a storyline. They did that whole, like, she got like a 324 or one of those specials they did about her that year where they were like really not using her. Her and Rhea are actually going over really well, which is why I hope that they're not splitting them up so quickly. Liv is long overdue for a title. So I hope she gets it soon.
They're going to face the champs again next week on Raw. So they might break them up for real next week. So
we'll see. But in as for the Mania match itself, it was kind of cramming everyone in, but it was a fun match. Naomi and Sasha winning was it.
Will we ever get a women's match at WrestleMania that doesn't involve a title? That's the question. That's the next hurdle to leap over. Edge versus AJ Styles. I think we already mentioned the fact that it never quite kicked into third gear the way we wanted it to, or first gear. I don't know. At a second, what's the next one? I guess third. I don't know how gears work. The fact that now it was all sort of a gateway match to the new brood. I don't know what the new thing is called, but like, because Damian Priest is now part of Edge and they dress all in black and they're all sort of gothic and spooky and sword and sorcery. And he got the Triple H entrance this year with the crown of the throne of fire. Amazing. His new music is really intense. I'll always miss the Metalingus, but the new one will have to grow on me. It's still heavy and it fits, but I'll always pine for the old music.
This was more of a classic grappler match. But I hope Edge, it's been great to have him back, but unfortunately a couple of his most pushed matches have not quite, delivered. And also I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for Mania as we're talking, this was the longest match of entire both nights of Mania and easily the longest match of the second night. It was 10 minutes longer than, the Knoxville Zane was the second longest, which is funny. But a really long match that unfortunately, somewhat by its design, because it was meant to be like, these are two classic wrestlers. It didn't take the wind out of the sails of the crowd.
No,
but I think everyone wanted to be more like hyped.
I think the tone of the match didn't fit the build of the match, which is I smashed your head in, you want, violent revenge. They really should have been a little more intense and maybe had a shorter match, especially given the ending was sort of an interference cheat.
That was a really disappointing finish because it wasn't even Damian Priest attacking AJ when he's outside the ring or something.
It was just
AJ just what's this guy doing here? You're not supposed to be here. That he was so distracted by Damian Priest's presence. I wish it had a better finish.
The Sheamus and basically the New Day match that was cut from the first night was shoved into the second night. It lasted less than 2 minutes.
Very shoved, yeah.
Yeah, everyone got to come out to a crowd, but the match lasted less than the end.
And it was very nice. New Day dressing like Big E.
I didn't see, so I have to go back and actually watch.
They're wearing singlets.
This is when I left on the second night.
They're wearing Big E style singlets and doing kind of his moves and stuff.
Now I feel even worse that they lost in less than 2 minutes. Then we get into the Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory, which I wasn't excited for, but they really made it work and a lot of fun. And this is one I wasn't anticipating ahead of time, but they sold me on it. Pat was a lot of fun. He's really talented.
That leap from the mat to the top rope.
It's great.
I'd be impressed if anyone did that.
I mean, there are wrestlers who can do it. It's just nobody thought Pat could, unless I forgot that he did it in NXT.
It's just funny because the whole thing of them, and look, if they're going to do it to Pete Dunne, of course they're going to do it to Pat McAfee, which is erase anything that happened in NXT.
Especially because it would show not just Adam Cole, but this guy was actually in a War Games before, but they couldn't show it because it had Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole in it, who are all in AEW now. But
right. So the whole build to this, the package for this was all about giving him a shot in the ring and acting like he actually had not done some impressive stuff in NXT already.
So a lot of people are talking after this match because Stone Cold showed up. There was a music cue that fooled Vince where he reacted thinking it was Austin, but it was actually Austin Theory's music.
I do like that. We'll never know because people were like, was it a strictly Vince screw up in that he knew he was waiting to hear Steve Austin's music and he'd react, oh no. And he just heard other music and reacted. Or was it a backstage thing of play Austin's music and they played Austin Theory's music?
I don't know. I think it was a backstage screw up, but everyone's talking about the absolute garbage stunner that Vince took. Rightfully so. It was ridiculous. This guy has never been able to take a stunner. So age has nothing to do with it because 20 years ago he was taking stunners.
But it doesn't help.
It doesn't help. I say credit to the next night's video package. They really edited it to show, make it look like he took a real stunner. Nice. Not enough people are talking about the two amazing stunners taken by Austin Theory, who has now broken Scott Hall's WrestleMania stunner vertical.
Horrific.
For bounce up. And then Pat McAfee's Shane McMahon beer spit stunner, which was were both awesome. Also, after Stone Cold gave Vince that awful vile stunner, immediately Austin laughed his ass off. He came up from that laughing so hard because he's like, God damn, this guy has like still takes stunners like an absolute sack of moldy potatoes. Like, like nothing has improved. Same old Vince. Like,
And everyone had fun. You know, just having a field day, joking about it. I mean, Mick Foley posted a video that his son filmed of him just losing it laughing himself after Vince's terrible stunner.
Because it's just fun, again, because it's like, it's not like Vince took amazing stunners all his life.
No,
he's old, he's taking a shit one. That would be kind of sad. It's like, oh, now we're beating up on the elderly. This is the tradition. It's like the tradition of this looking so awful that the video editors have to bend over backwards the next day to make it look like something believable.
Who were you mentioning that Austin Theory outdid in the stunner reaction?
Scott Hall's WrestleMania stunner.
Okay. Because I'd always seen, though, there's that great one of The Rock.
The Rock does a one where he goes back and then flips over onto his stomach. Scott Hall, though, just does a straight, and I think he's taken it twice that you can find easily, especially at WrestleMania, where he just goes down and then jumps up high in the air and falls back on his back. So
That sounds great. I will look for that. But yeah, but both Theory and McAfee bookending the terrible, taking of the stunner with great ones. And then McAfee did give us an extra gift of a gift.
Or even just a still picture, but
it doesn't matter how you see it. A really hysterical moment where they cut to him laying on the ground, still stunned, but pouring beer.
Never stunned, just drying himself in pouring the beer. Yeah,
it was legitimately hysterical. I thought that was very, very funny.
All right, we already talked about the Sunday night main event. The right person won. I was rooting for Roman. I was expecting Brock, rooting for Roman. Still very, very surprised that they let Roman Reigns' celebration on Raw go uninterrupted or basically just let it be uninteresting. I did not felt like a regular Raw, I guess, not a Monday after Raw, but that's what WWE is these days. So, all right, that was WrestleMania. Anything you want to add before we wrap up?
I know we already talked about Roman versus Brock.
Yeah.
Just to say that, it was amazing to see such different energy, like you've talked about, especially versus that last time where just everyone was so checked out. It really goes to show you that as much as you can be like, Roman versus Brock again, and there's legit to gripe about that at Mania, that you can revitalize things because these guys are such different characters and bringing something different to the table, both of them to their credit. The match itself was just an okay match, all things considered. But I still was just impressed given what a like checked out crowd we last saw these guys.
Oh my God, in front of. Like no beach balls being bounced this time for sure.
Yeah.
And no chance, just everyone's super into it.
But also just that like you mentioned Raw quadrupled down on it, but tripling down on just Roman is the dominant force here. Roman wins. There was some talk that they might have done a quicker finish than they meant to because Roman was hurt a little bit. And so maybe they ended that a few minutes earlier. He still gets this huge win, unifies the titles for the time being. We'll see how long that lasts or what they decide to do. But also, there was some, wondering chatter. Everyone, we always, try to speculate. It's like, because there's so much, it's just pure speculation that like, will Roman and Rock face each other at Mania next year, simply versus the fact that it's in LA and it would be a natural place to go with the guy saying, I'm the head of the table. I'm the one who's like the basically ruling this family is to bring his more famous family member in, but we don't know if Rock's going to wrestle again. And I did think people were getting, as much as I hoped that would be true, that Rock could show up at the end. Because it'd be exciting.
But the fact that like people were like literally insulting Rock on social media, like you coward, you.
Ah, I didn't see that.
They were coming at the Rock. Like, I can't believe you didn't show up. Like, I can't believe you didn't do the thing that I alone.
You
like,
never promised. You never did anything. And I also,
I only built this up in my own mind and you let me down. Right. Yeah.
And I also, the one reason that a lot of people were saying, I bet Rock is here, or I'm sure Rock is here, was because his mom was there. Guys, his mom goes to a lot of things without him. First of all, she's a grown-ass woman who can do that. Second of all, she's been a part connected to the wrestling business before he was born because her husband was a part of it. She's just, you know, going to be at some wrestling events and he won't necessarily be there. He doesn't need to be there.
Rock's mom. What if she came out?
She came out.
Would that have satisfied people?
Yeah. Okay. That would be.
Or his daughter who's training. Rock's daughter.
Yeah, both would be wonderful.
Everyone in his family comes out except him.
Every single member.
So, in anticipation of LA and maybe Rock versus Roman, does he keep the belt for a whole year?
Right.
Also, how long does he keep both belts? How long before they split these titles? Because Raw and SmackDown
With Becky, it was pretty quick, right?
But also because Raw and SmackDown are on different networks and they need separate champions.
Right, exactly. Anyway, overall, I very much enjoyed this Mania. The highlights were high and the lowlights were not egregious. I thought there was a lot to really dig this time.
All right. That has been We Enjoy Wrestling for now until SummerSlam. I don't know.
We'll see
what happens. We'll see if anything notable happens that draws us out of the woodwork and into another We Enjoy Wrestling podcast. Maybe I'll do one for Double or Nothing. I don't know. That's the next big pay-per-view on the horizon. But let's see what the stars have in line for us. Until next time, everything is possible, but nothing is real. And Shockma. Same sign off on both shows.
That's right. Shockma!